Can we give him some praise in this place?
Amen. Thank you, Father.
We don't need to be quiet. He's doing good things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And on that note, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. If you hear something that you like and you feel God doing it, say amen out loud. Tell him hallelujah. Praise his name. Pastor John is going to come and share the word with us this morning. So don't be quiet. If you hear something and God is moving, get loud, okay? We sometimes need that, right?
That's exactly right, yeah.
So let's join with us. Stretch out your arm. We're going to bless him as he gets ready to deliver the word. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for his heart. I thank you for the word that you've been speaking. I thank you for how it's going to go forth, how it's going to transform lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, my friend. Jesus had a couple of obstacles in his ministry and lifetime, would you say?
Yes.
Not among the least of those obstacles were people that didn't exactly know what he was there to do. They were used to the way that things have always been. Things were so entrenched that when they had the very promise that they were looking for standing in front of them, they didn't know who he was. They had become so used to the darkness that when light showed up, the Bible says they didn't comprehend it. They didn't know what it was. I'm about to declare something to you today. This isn't going to be a teaching. This is going to be a preaching. There is something about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God that has nothing to do with darkness or any of its works. If we are those who say, the Holy Spirit lives in me, we now are vessels of a power that can only be guessed at. This is who we are. I'm here to proclaim to you that your days of imprisonment are over. I'm here to let you know that what was has nothing to do with what will be.
Amen.
I'm here to let you know that no matter what it is that you see when you look in the mirror, that God sees something completely different.
Thank you, Lord.
He sees his son.
Amen.
Now, before we take that and just discard it because we've heard it before, let's go ahead and put some roots on that, can we? How many prayers of the Son of God has the Father ignored? How many of your prayers has he ignored? None! How much sin did the Father see in the Son of God? How much sin does he see in you? Do you understand? None! None! He sees none in you. The blood has bought it,
amen,
paid for it.
Amen.
And it's about time that we quit referring to our sins and our weaknesses. Oh, and that most embarrassing moment in life that always keeps coming back. It's time that we stopped and began to believe the gospel.
Amen.
Now, when Adam took his first breath, opened his eyes, this is a nice place. Look at everything's all green and growing. God, the Bible says, placed him in the garden. How much did Adam have to do with making that garden? Now, he was given a job in the garden. Okay, that's good. But as far as how he was placed there and the place where he was standing, he didn't do it at all. And the Bible says it was through this first Adam that sin came into the world. It was Adam's obedience to the enemy that transferred the dominion that God had given Adam to the devil. But the Bible goes on to say it was the second Adam. Who's it talking about? It's talking about Jesus, who redeemed the entire creation and every soul that has ever been and ever will be. And the ownership and the rulership of earth and every soul on it reverted back to the Father. That's what took place. And you and I are standing in what Jesus calls the kingdom. And we have been placed there, the Bible says, by the grace of God. We had nothing to do with the fact that this kingdom has been built for us. It's been done for us. And yet he has given us a job to do in the kingdom. I had a whole big bunch of notes here, but I don't think I'm going to use them. Here's the thing. God wants us to be so filled with his person and purpose that we walk through this world unafraid, unashamed, and we are able to stand for him. Why? Because in his hands is the life that everybody really wants. In his hand, this is where it exists. How many of you would be just like the disciples? You're watching Jesus do what it is that he does, and you're going, oh, that's so cool. That's amazing. And you would go up with the disciples and say, Jesus, can I talk to you for a second? I've got a question. How can we do the things that you're doing? And what he said next didn't seem to make any sense. But he said, believe on the one he has sent. It sounds like we've been placed in the garden again. It sounds like it's been done for us. And he's asking us to believe it. Jesus goes to get baptized by John the Baptist, comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And from that time forth, the Bible says that he went out preaching that the kingdom of God was at hand. And when he was challenged by the religious people of the day, he said, well, he's casting out demons because he is a demon. He's casting out the devil because he is a devil. All these healings are counterfeit. All this stuff, blah, 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 blah. Jesus said, look, if I, by the finger of God, am casting out demons, then you need to know without a doubt that the kingdom of God has come. It's not going to come. It is here now. The ownership and the rulership of earth has changed possession. And the kingdom is here now, and whatever was evil or anything else is now beginning to work backwards until the day that death itself is conquered. Amen. Amen. And God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. God gave man dominion. And he said, we're going to make them in our image and in our likeness. And it seems like kind of a redundant thing. Well, aren't image and likeness the same thing? No, they're not. The Hebrew word for image right there is shade or shadow. When somebody says, well, everybody's made in the image of God, you have to agree. But not everyone is walking in the likeness. Everyone has that capacity. That's what the image is. You have the capacity to receive the likeness of Jesus. That's who the Holy Spirit has come to reveal in us and to reproduce in us, is the Son of God. Okay? So what did Jesus do? Did he do miraculous things? Yes. Was he wise? Yes. Was he filled with love? Yes. Did he throw out the money changers? Yes. Did he rebuke the Pharisees?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Was he after popularity? No, he wanted to please his Father, plus nothing. Was he worried about succeeding in ministry?
No.
That's just Christianized idolatry, by the way. He wasn't concerned about those things. All he wanted to do was please his Father. I wonder. I'm not wondering about you. I'm wondering about me. What would my life be like if that really consumed me like I know it should? Somehow we have the notion, and I don't know where it's come from. I think it's maybe it's because we've got more religion pushed into us than we care to admit, but this idea that God is there to make me happy. Now, here's the truth of it. How many of you have read Matthew 6:33? Anybody know what it says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. The preceding verse says, Gentiles have needs just like you do. God knows what it is that you need. If you will shift your focus from I need, I need, I need, I need, I need, to Father, how can your kingdom flow through me? Now things have changed. Got a good friend by the name of Victor Rowell. Victor Rowell and his wife are pastors in Mena, Arkansas. A number of years ago, a tornado came through Mena, Arkansas, and basically blew it up, along with their home. And so while they're busy getting relief efforts together, and Foursquare churches from all over the region sent volunteers, and there was things going on all over the places. People were trying to piece their homes and their lives back together. They found themselves struggling with, well, we need a new house too. We've got things going on over here that we need to pay attention to. And yet all these other things are demanding our attention. And the Lord spoke to him very clearly. And when Victor said this, it stuck in my heart and I'm never going to forget it. The Lord told him, if you will take care of my stuff, I'll take care of your stuff. If you will take care of the people that I love, if you will love them, pay attention to them, guard them, guide them, nurture them, disciple them. If you will do that, I'll fill your life up with everything you need. Books after books after books have been written on how to receive from God. Tell me I'm wrong. Okay? And all this does is cement the believer into a place where they never see themselves as filled, overflowing. They never see themselves that way. They always see themselves in need. And in a certain way, we are always in need. I'm always in need of mercy. I'm a grace and mercy guy. You know why? Because it's all I can afford to be. All right? If I'm going to ask you to toe the line, this is what you ought to be doing, this is who you ought to be, blah, 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 I'd better be willing to be that myself. And so I'd really rather dispense grace and mercy. I'd really rather do that. image, likeness. Having been created in the image of God is good. Walking in His likeness takes the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the reason that Jesus came. It wasn't just to die for our sins and cause our spirit to come awake and open the doors of eternal life, as good as that is, but it is to answer His prayer when He said to the Father, "Lord, let it be on earth like it is in heaven." The Holy Spirit has come to fill His church so that that which proceeds from the church is the contact place between the need of this world and heaven's supply and provision. Now, I don't know about you, but I've prayed that prayer before. Okay? Haven't you? Lord, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. That's great. Yet somewhere on the inside, I never included myself in that prayer. I'm going to ask God to, you know, to do this somewhere, someone. Right? I just don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm going to pray it anyway. It's written here. So I guess, you know, it'll be on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know what that means. As soon as you put yourself in the equation, it becomes clear. The Bible says that those that believe out of their innermost being would flow what? Rivers of living water. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, John saw the throne of God, and from that throne, a river of living water was flowing. This is a description of the headwaters of this river. This is where it is. The worshiper, the one who puts themselves in the presence of God, now has access to let that river flow through them. What is the river? Well, certainly healing, wisdom, well-timed help, counsel, strength, endurance, all the fruit of the Spirit. All of these things are in that river. And we don't only have it to... Well, how's this? Whenever I pour water into a glass and pour the water out of the glass, guess what? It's still wet. There is no way that you can pour out without getting poured into. There is nothing that you're going to lose. You're not going to be diminished because you have put yourself in a position to give. Quite the opposite's true. The moment you put yourself in position to give is an intelligent recognition of the fact that the kingdom of God is here and that everything you need already belongs to you. Now, for those of us that have been in church for a while, we've heard enough preaching to fill up what? I don't know. We've heard so much, so often for so long that we've become jaded. Can I say that? That the most sublime truths that were ever uttered on planet Earth have gone one ear and out the other. And we go, well, that was nice. May the Lord God have mercy on us and help us. That we don't let these powerful, wonderful things slip through our fingers because we're so preoccupied with guarding our own comfort. They called Jesus the son of Beelzebub. You know what Beelzebub means? The Lord of the flies. Of the synagogue of Satan. Man. Lord. The blood has done it all. And he's asking us to believe it and to be fearless. Peter just got out of jail. It's in the book of Acts. And he's released miraculously from jail. He was in jail and the believers were praying, "Lord, get Peter out of jail." And the angel came, the doors flew open, and Peter walks up to this place where they're meeting and knocks on the door. And this young lady heard that it was Peter on the other side of the door. Instead of opening the door, she said, "Hey, it's Peter." And you really can't blame her. It's the kind of thing they, you know, she was at that meeting. Don't know, you know, how far into this thing that she herself was as a young person. But all of a sudden, she hears prayer, and the answer is at the door. Just a moment ago, we prayed for Nigeria and the Ukraine. And what I need to let you know, that it was much more than just a little old lady up here doing talking. Much more than that. If that's all you saw, you need to have some spiritual eyes instead of the one that says, "This is boring." You need to have something else happen to you on the inside. Because when we pray, do you understand what an immense privilege that is? To have an audience with Almighty God? The Bible says that we don't, 1 John, I love this verse. We don't know exactly what we'll be, but we do know this. That when we see Him, we'll be like Him. I love that. Our bodies are going to be changed. Not these fleshly things. Luminous beings are we. That's a pretty good impression, wasn't it? The thing is, in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, John the Apostle gives a description of the Son of God that he's looking at now. And this creature looks nothing like what we look like. He is basically a being that wields such power. He's basically light with clothing on. When the scripture says that he looked at the throne of God and all the saints gathered around the throne, he said it looked like a sea of glass. If we were there in these bodies, it probably looked more like a sea of mud. But these bodies are not the same. When the scripture says that we will be as he is, do you understand? We will be glorified. And that this is the kind of creature that we are now. This is what your spirit man looks like. This is who he is. God is asking us to set aside the earthly and the mundane and the ordinary, and to seek that which will allow the river that heals, the river that redeems, the river that brings life. Seek that and ask God, "Lord, let the river flow through me." Your family may be obstinate, but they will not be able to resist the river. Your circumstances may be ugly, but guess what? Cast your care on Him. Get those circumstances on the shoulders of Jesus where they belong, and apply yourself to letting the river flow.
Amen, amen.
And you're going to discover. Right now, our country, our world, is being ruled by fear. Christians are being suppressed by one of the devil's favorite tools, intimidation. You want a reason that churches don't grow? It's because Christians are silent. Christians are silent. That's why the church doesn't grow. We are intimidated. We're quiet when we should be proclaiming. Is this all right? Believe me, getting a new pastor doesn't grow a church. Doesn't. You can put a big, huge ad in the newspaper. We've got new youth leaders, and the world will not care. You can spend thousands and thousands of dollars on mailers and programs and all these wonderful things, and every single one of them is lifeless and dead. What makes things alive are Christians whose river is not being blocked, but is flowing. Somebody asked me here a while back, John, what do you think your spiritual gift is? I knew what they were asking me, so I said, I don't know. All I know is that I have the Holy Spirit. All I know is that the down payment of my inheritance already lives in me. All I know is that my citizenship is in heaven, that this world is not my home. All I know is that the redemption that is now mine can never be reversed or taken away from me. All I know is that God Almighty is wanting to break out in such a way that the enemy will quake in his boots. Scripture says that the enemy right now is afraid because he knows that his time is short. And so he has come down to the earth in great wrath. That's what we're seeing, isn't it? All right? The return of Jesus Christ is imminent. Yeah. It is imminent. Yeah. So could we please start believing that His mercy is ours? Yeah. Start believing that your sins are forgiven and forgotten. Amen. Start believing that the river that God has promised is yours now, today. And step back into the world in which God has called you and let the river flow. God wants to take the image and make it likeness. And you can have the image of God and just, you know, just be awake. Salvation's yours. You've got your eyes open now in a certain way. I love that. But now it's time to step into the rest of the equation. And when I say now, I don't mean tomorrow. I don't mean eventually. Yeah. I need to get that done. Let me put that on my list. No. There is no time like right now. Is it really your heart's desire to please your Heavenly Father just as the Son of God did? Let's stand together. We're going to pray. And understand that as we pray, God answers. Amen. If you don't want to pray this prayer with me, don't. Okay? Your choice. But what we're about to do is make a decided decision on this particular fact, on this particular truth. Lord, let your kingdom come through me. Would that be all right? Amen. And say this with me. Holy Father, at this moment, I belong to you, and you belong to me. At this moment, I give you my whole life, everything I have, everything I ever will have, everything I will ever be. is yours. And so now fill me, Lord, with your purpose for the place you have given me to walk. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just thank him. Say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just say thank you. Your worry accomplishes nothing. God has not asked you to worry. Because what worrying is, I realize I've got you standing. I'm going to dismiss you in a moment. What worry is me trying to think things through. And we never do. It never works. We never come to an answer. All we have is worry. And guess what? Tomorrow, more worry comes. And the day after that, more worry comes. Until we're walking around so burdened that we finally come to a place that's called desperation. How many of you believe that desperate people make terrible decisions? They make decisions that hurt them. The Lord doesn't want you to worry. He wants you to be free. But you can't be free if you're still afraid of your Heavenly Father. Let your dad love you. Let him love you today. Let him lift your burdens. And believe that no matter what it is you see, no matter what those yammering mouths out there are saying, no matter what the accuser is doing, no matter how hard-hearted those around you may be, no matter how conniving, how nasty, how awful human beings can be, that when you pray, God starts doing something great.
Amen.
That is our call, to open the doors so that heaven can come to earth.
Amen.
And so, Father, bless this people. Father, make us absolutely yours. Lift our eyes, Lord, from that which is selfish and mundane and bound to die, and to grasp that which can never die. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.